So this one is the preparation for Jacob's stick and mainly advertisement for him on 28, which is next week, Monday, right? So, and he will talk about a thing. Maybe guessing from his abstract from his colloquium, probably there's two things here. So an abelian geometry and the ABC conjecture. So this one actually is the first introduced by Stephen Dick. And today we will not say anything about this one actually, but I will mention briefly about what is ABC conjecture and some consequence of that conjecture. So before we go to the main thing, so let me define what is the curve look like. So curve, and again, I just mainly I mean talk over Q, so I suppose everybody know Q, which is the rational number. And for even general field and Q, it's similar behavior, so it doesn't matter. So a curve over Q is of the form, or defined by the form where you have fxy equals 0, and where fxy is polynomial in two variables, x and y. And here, what I mean in two variables, x and y, that means the whole thing here independent. Okay? They cannot depend on each other algebraically. So for example, you have a very basic curve. Everybody know it's circle, and you can define, say, fxy equal to x squared plus y squared minus 1. And then the circle, you can define using this equation saying it's of the form or defined by the equation fxy equal x squared plus y squared minus 1 equals 0. Okay. So the main thing in number theory is the we don't care any other point except rational point. Rational point, that means the point on the curve where the xy coordinate come from rational number. Okay. Because all the point with the coordinate, for example, real number, are not interesting enough. So the first guy actually interesting and dope thing is Liang Feng Tuss. He lived around the 12th century, and he left he wrote 13 books called Arithmetica. But only 10 books is still survive. The three books we lost. And you will see amazing. I will at some time in the talk, I will mention one of his actually his curve, and we will see amazingly actually it's very modern, up to this century as well. So, again, the main interesting point here, the main goal, one of the main goals actually, can I say, the main theme of number theory. To find rational point on curve. Again, curve needs to be defined over Q so that you can find rational point. And once again, rational point, that means the point where x, y, both of them are rational number. For example, we come back to our, for example, here, you see it if you define. Let me come back here, so say x squared plus y squared equal minus 1 equals 0 here. And If you alpha, beta, it's anything is the in Z. Here Z, that means the integers. And if phi, if we set up the x equal to, let's see what we have here, 2 alpha beta and alpha square beta square. So this one, of course, because alpha, beta, both of them in Z. And one more thing is, I don't want it in zero. So, because I don't want here Z divided by zero here. So, again, the area is 2 alpha, beta, which is in Z. Alpha square, beta square, both in Z. So when you square up, you add them together in Z as well. And when you get Gaussian, you get back to the Q. So the first point is fine. So the X Gaussian, it comes from directional point. And the second one I want to set up is the you have alpha square minus beta square and divide by the same quotient. Again, this one you can see is the top and the bottom, both in Z. So the whole thing here should be in Q. Now it's just a matter of calculation. You can see that actually this is the five-dot equation. So we have if you are using that equation there, with alpha and beta arbitrary integers, non-zero, you have x squared plus y squared minus 1. And I can do simplify here, you have 2 alpha beta alpha squared, and you square off here. And we have one more thing here, is the difference between alpha squared beta squared with the same quotient there. And you square up, you got minus 1. So that means the whole thing here, the bottom should be alpha squared plus beta squared, and you square up. Right, so the top here, you see it here become 4 alpha squared beta squared. And this one, when you expand the square out, you got there just alpha 4 plus beta 4 minus alpha squared beta squared, and the red is just similar to the quotient there, so which is we have here just alpha squared beta squared square. And now it's just the I'm sorry, here it's a bit 2 here. So 4 here with 2 there cancel out, you left 2. And when you look at the first 2 term from here to there, you got back to actually this same quantity as well. So that means the whole thing here actually equals 0, which is prove that the x, y actually satisfy the equation of the unit circle, and which is prove that you have the point x, y, where x, y are coordinate defined using the alpha and beta. We have 2 alpha, beta, alpha square plus beta square, and the second one, alpha square minus beta square, where alpha square belong to the curve here. So let me see here. So you say actually this one belongs to the C, and you try with the Q there. So when they write out the name for the curve, say C and then 2 dot, and with the equation equals 0, that means this is my curve, C, okay? And when I write out the C, charge with the curve, the Q there, this one means this definition is just the set of all rational point on C. And again, I'm not interested into the real point. The real point, that means the x, you can take x here, it's a real number. It's a real, real number. Because that's easy. Right. For example, you can move around thing here. You move x squared and minus 1 to the other side. You check the square root, you got a real number for sure. Which is only one step. You can get the whole thing. But in the Q, this one actually, it's not come natural. They have some method to get the form of the solution look like this form. But I'm not joking about it. So, this one is a very, very simple one. So when you look at the curve of a C again, now we look at mainly this is the where now I have C and F X Y equals zero. So sometimes I don't want to work using the this equation, right? Because here actually, sometimes you call this one is a phi equation of the curve. For several reasons, this one is not perfectly to work with, right? Because they're missing the point at infinity. So they want to transform the curve its equivalent form with this equation where you actually you can define projective space. And have you ever heard about projective space before? So let me briefly define it. So if you take a look at the again, just to start with. And for any other field, exactly the same way I define. So I want to define something called the projective two space. And notation for this one is the B2 over Q there. So when I say B2 here, that means this one should be the object of two-dimensional. And the definition, the formula, so we will have, so I look at the set Q3 to start with. So Q3, that means you take the product of Q3 times and a general point have this form. X, Y, and Z belong to the Q3, where of course it coordinate here actually a rational number, right? So then I define the B2 actually all the collection of the point where you have I didn't know by the square bracket here X and 2 dot Y 2 dot Z. This one belongs to Q of 3 as well, but here, I can see the many points they have equal to each other using one equivalent relation. Here, where I can see I can ignore this one, doesn't matter, sorry. So, I don't need to talk about this one. Where, if the 2 points, if you have the X, Y and Z, and the other one is if you multiply it coordinate by a constant, I can see the axis it's equal to each other. So the lambda X, lambda Y, and lambda Z equal each other on this set, where lambda is anything belonging to Q, remove the zero. So again, B2 cos Q actually, the collection of points exactly the Q3, except the fact that I can see the where this point, if you take arbitrary the point X, Y, and Z, and another one, you multiply it coordinate by a constant lambda, where lambda is non-zero. I can see this one actually identical, because right now we talk about the tree line there. So it didn't by constant, doesn't mean anything. For example, let me right out for you. So if we have the point, say the X, Y, Z equal to the 1, 2, and 4, and the other one is X, this one X0, X1, Y1, Z1 equal to 2, 4, and 8. So in Q3, you see is those one belong to Q3 because they have three coordinates. They can look at different point. But when I embed those point into the new set B2Q, I can see they're the same thing. So actually here, it's different from 1, 2, and 4 on the Q tree. But the point here, the 2, 4, and A equal to here, you see one modulus 2, 2, 2, and 2, 4, actually identical with the 1, 2, 4 on B, 2, Q. The simple reason because when you draw the picture here, and when I draw the, I mean, the normal set, it's just the plan that is one. But when you talk about the rejective space, every point on the same line, they consider actually, it's just one big point here. Right? Because if different by constant, that means they lie in the same line here. So the Q tree is somewhere here. But through the transformation, you got the B2Q, which is every single line become a just single point. And then you have another line here. Again, the whole point in the line here, they merge in only different point as well. And you have separate dots. Yeah?
So every point in the projective space is an equivalence class?
Exactly, yeah. So, from the original equation, you have a new way to define for tree variable with the homogeneous polynomial. If you work over rejective space, so now is the a new way to define curve was rejective curve, which is almost equivalent to this one there. Okay, it's not very much different except the consideration at infinity. So now it's my curve. A curve in B to Q is of the form the F, X, Y, and Z. But now I need to restrict the polynomial become more special. I call it homogeneous, where F, X, Y, Z is polynomial of three variable, and this one requires actually homogeneous. That means if you multiply each coordinate by a constant, they take out the whole constant out with the raise to the power of degree of F. So we have F lambda X, lambda Y, lambda Z actually equal to lambda degree of F and multiply with F, Y, Z back. And here, lambda is anything. I mean, different from zero. For any lambda, actually from Q, and it's not zero. Okay. So, and again, this one and that one there is very similar, actually almost equivalent, except behavior at infinity. I will mention why it's different when I talk about the curve. So now come back to the again the first example. So we have we define to see how the form is x squared plus y squared equals z squared. So this one actually is exactly is the a circle before we have. If, for example, if you check, for example, if when z is non-zero, you divide both sides for z squared, you will have the equation here become x over z squared plus y over z squared equal 1 there. Right? And then you can change your new variable, which is this one become very capital X, and here become capital Y, then this whole equation to become the x squared plus y squared equal 1 there. And for though is the for though when z equals 0, if you only consider the rational point, then it's very easy to solve. Basically, you only have the point 2 or actually x and y equals 0, right? So let me point out. So if when is the z equals 0, then the equation of c become only the point x squared equal y squared equals 0. And because we only interested in the directional point, that means a set of rational solution to this equation. Here you can imply right away, actually, x, y just equals 0. So again, if you can see the directional point, then the original curve before, everybody know here, c0, q actually, union, the same as c over q, except the point x, y equals e equals 0. Because every other point you have here, just by check with math. So for number theory consideration, actually, you can consider both for projective equation or applied equation. Any question? So far. How long I have, actually? Left? 25 minutes. Okay. So, if you have, now we start with the, again, with the equation of the curve, where I have the, I come back to my phi equation before. And this one defy the whole thing here over Q. And because Q is a subset of C, where C here is just a complex number. And that means you can actually consider C is a curve over C as well. So using this embedding between the two sets, you can consider C as a curve in C. The reason is they have many nice things about if you consider this curve over C. One thing is if you already study object algebra, this one actually algebraic close. So that means in principle you can find all the complex point on this equation, because for any polynomial with the coefficient from C, you can find all the zero with the, I mean, the zero solution from C as well. And the second thing nice about consider curve over C is you actually have one theorem from complex analysis. If you consider curve of C in this form, then you actually have this a bijective map. I mean, almost bijective, but I really don't care about. I just go informal. So where you have something from the F is the map, and the X go with the C here, where the X here is some complex suffix, actually. So the complex suffix, that means some suffix with, again, defy over the complex number. And the reason why we care about this map, because it tells you one very important invariant. So from here, for every suffix, you can have the one invariant called genus. Right, for example, if you have C here, well, so the phi have no hole inside, so the genus should be equal 0. And then I have another thing, if you have one hole, then the genus become 1. And so on. So if we have, for example, the donut, and where he is, this one is a suffix. They have a hole inside here. So this one, give me the genus 1 suffix. This one is just the topology thing. And if you keep going, I have this one here, where you can find actually here have two holes. So it gives me the Gina 2 suffix. And the invariant going Gina for the suffix here, you can translate rule this math here, go for C. And over C, actually, it becomes invariant again. So it's unique for its C, right? So that means I have something called the genus of C actually is defined by equal to the genus of the complex suffix exhaustive to C. And here we go, we have some very beautiful math here. So again, this invariant translate to here become invariant again. And for several curves, even though you see this map actually in general very difficult to define, but for several curves, when you translate back to the curve, it's very easy to compute genus for many, many curves. So let me give you a few examples.
So what exactly is this X here? This is a set of
subcomplex
surfaces?
It's a Riemann surface. Yeah. But I avoid the word, yeah. Yeah. So I have one dimension over C, right? Because Riemann, so that means I have two dimensions over real. That's why I have the genus.
Can you see here some kind of arithmetic curves or something?
No, it's a by chance. I change over C already. I need to have over C. I start with the C over Q, then I by chance the C become the curve of the C. That's where I can get this map. It's actually a holomorphic map. And by check this, over if you remove the singularity of C, that's why I say here, it's very, not very precise, yeah. Yeah. But if you look at the smooth curve, then indeed, actually, it gives you a bijective map, yeah. Yeah. So, the first one, something called the hyperelliptic curve. And you can see root name is, just, they go here hyper, that means even better than the elliptic curve. Actually, in general, it's more difficult to solve. So they have the form is, low curve, by definition, have the form C is defined by Z squared, let me go with the Y then, Y squared equal to F of X. Because we already have one variable. So the right-hand side is separate. It just only have one point in F. And half degree is the alpha. And 2n plus 2. 2n plus 2. Alpha of 2n plus 1. X 2n plus 1. And so on when you get to alpha 1 x plus alpha 0. Where the alpha I here belong to Q. And alpha 2n plus 2 is 0. And the third condition actually is crucial for my statement of the genus here is the fx has exactly 2n plus 2 complex roots. This thing. That means if you already study object algebra, that means fx is actually separable. So the condition for fx separable is just make sure that you kill every singularity of the curve. So then for those curves, and the curve actually one of them. So that's the first form for the hyperelliptic curve. This one let me put here number one. And number two, it's very similar. So if C can define using the y square of alpha 2n plus 1, x 2n plus 1, and I go the same way of the other one, I have alpha 1 x plus alpha 0 with every condition here, written up here. Okay. That means the alpha 2n plus 1 is non-zero, and the polynomial here is separate, which is half exactly 2n plus 1, distinct complex root. So then it's the genus right now, it's actually, you can compute actually very easy. It's just n itself. So like I said, even though the equation look complex like this form, and you don't go through the mud chapel using the math before 85, you have another way to do it actually. And then after compute, after computation, you got actually the theta for this curve of this form, or this form, it is n, the little n there. For example, if you divide by, say, y squared equal x3 plus, minus 1. So the x3 minus 1, you actually can prove that they have tweaked this thing come like root, right? Because equals 0 where you have x equal 1, all the equation x squared plus x plus 1 equals 0. But this one have two different roots. Completely distinct from one. So that proves that the x3 minus 1 here had three distinct complex roots. Okay. So now is the, I couldn't write in this form. I write in the same form. But I change the power a little bit, become x multiplied 2, 1 plus 1 minus 1. So that means the equation of my curve right now, the C here, had the form of the second form, where if I translate between this form and that form, that means n is just equal 1. Because they have here 2 times n plus 1 there. So that means the genus of C actually is 1. And in number theory, local of the genus 1 and had this form, it's actually, it's highly interesting because they actually, using them, you can deduce a lot of beautiful consequences. For example, in fact, my last theorem actually come from local as well. So in general, you can define the electric curve using the second form there actually. So this one is a definition for electric curve here. So an electric curve over Q is defined by E here. And you have y squared, it's just x cubed plus alpha x plus beta. Where alpha and beta, I can check in Q such that the equation x cubed plus alpha x plus beta equals 0 is exactly 3 distinct complex roots. So that's that's the electric curve. And on the pictures, if you only draw by the real part of electric curve, somehow it's had this form. So that's just the real part of. Electric curve. And one interesting thing about it occurs because actually, when you look at directional point, they actually have a structure. It's very different from the other curve. So even any electric curve of that form, and you can see the set E of Q here. Keep in mind again here, just the set of directional point x, y on E. So this one actually, by Model, he proved first for the Bessel case for electric curve. Later actually, he proved for something is more general than the electric curve, only by abelian variety. is E of Q here, actually, is an abelian group. Abelian group doesn't mean it's just it's similar to Z, actually. It's like you can add them together and they can be. If you have 2 points from the EQ, then you can compute each other. That means they have addition of the on-elliptic curve. Okay. Any questions so far?
Oh,
yeah, they have addition between them. So come back to your diophantus. One of the problems in his book, I don't remember exactly what book, I think probably the book 6 in the Arithmetica book of his, he stated the problem is phi 1 fractional point on the curve, say y squared equal x6 plus x squared plus 1. So the interesting here is this, I mean this one, like he lived in 3rd century, but this one here is if you write out the x6 become x to the 2 times 2 plus 2 plus x squared plus 1, then remember the first form of hyperbolic curve, this one gives you actually the genus. If we write out here, C is equal to there. And the more interesting thing is, if you change the question of diophantus, it's not only phi, the one directional point, because phi 1 is very easy, right? You can look at the x equals 0 and y equal 1. Then you have 1. You see, when you plug in x equals 0 here, on the right-hand side equal 1, and left-hand side, just 1 squared, which is 1 as well. It satisfies the equation. But if you change the question by phi, all of them, on C, that means the equivalent question should be, what is the C Q here? I mean, if I every single point of the set of rational point of C there, then it becomes a very difficult question. And it's not solved recently, until recently. So the one who completely find all of them is a Joe Vedrell in his thesis at Berkeley, actually. I don't remember where he graduated, probably 1997, I think. So in his thesis, he gave a very high technique. He calls the Sabatier. This one actually very, very difficult technique in the in arithmetic geometry or number theory. You kind of what he do is what. He mapped this curve into two elliptic curves, and then he analyzed the set of rational points on the curve, and he translated back to the original curve here to find all of them, which is it's actually very difficult to find at the end. And he found all of them successfully. So my main point here is what, even sometimes the question looks very simply stated in like this form. I mean, it's indeed very simple statement. But it's check like from this one, 3rd century, up to the time where Vedrell wrote the thesis is in 20th century, which is check like 17th century to solve. So it's too much for such equation. And in general, up to now, we don't know how to solve actually. No. For finding all the directional points on curve of genus, at least one. The genus zero axis is easy. It's quadratic form. So you have some way to do it, but I'm not mentioning that either. But the only bothersome thing is, in 1983, so Fultens is a German. He won a few medals for this work. He proved that for any curve of genus bigger than or equal to 2, they are only finding many points. If you name this curve, see here. But the thing is, they said many, but how many, we don't know. And for some curve, we cannot even decide actually exactly how many number of point there. How much can I have left? 10 minutes? Yeah. So for example, let me write out this example, then we can go to ABC. The curve, the famous curve, actually probably the most famous one. So Fermat curve had the form is xn plus yn equals an, where n bigger than 3. The two were actually just the Pythagorean theorem, this EDC saw as well. And actually we just solved it in for example. So Fermat last theorem stated that the only point on C is actually no point. So of course you have 0, 0, 0. It's easy. Both 0 and this one 0. And if you have either of them 1 and the other one 0, or minus 1, 0, positive minus 1, 0, all you can change is 0. Positive 1 to 1 and positive minus 1. Right. So that's the only point here. And it takes like more than, I mean, almost 400 years to nail down the proof. Until everywhere in 1995. So he proved that. So it takes forever. And the genus of this curve actually is very. So genus here actually. And it's different curve. Okay? This one is a homogeneous curve. Different ways to view. So C actually equal to n minus 1. But about 2 there. Hold on. 4, 2, yeah. I think so. So, again, if you, I mean, in your free time, you can change here for example 10, 17, I mean 20, whatever here. I think it's still very difficult to solve. We don't know in general. If you just put here A, B, C in front, or A, B, C, you ran over whatever integer you like, and we don't know. We never know, actually don't know when we know. So sometimes, like the question like Fermat, it took too much time to solve, then people tend to think different ways to get the solution by making some very strong conjecture. And one of them actually is ABC conjecture. And if you're using ABC, actually you can imply the Fermat last theorem only like a few lines. That's an amazing thing. And actually this one, they did you actually a bunch of a lot number of very difficult question. So it's name a few. It's the first one, of course, is a Fermat 1. Then the second one, you can take a look in some book. It's called Catalan conjecture. Don't have time to go through them. Hopefully, I can talk about the Fermat 1. So the statement of ABC is actually very simple. They have two forms. The strong form it states that if you take any epsilon bigger than zero, be a positive number. By positive number, I mean any epsilon small enough, like 1/2, whatever you like. Okay. Then there it says another constant. And I name this one as the C of epsilon. The reason why I put epsilon inside a parenthesis because it means it depends on epsilon. It epsilon gives you different constant. Such if A, B, C, that's where the name comes from, the A, B, C conjecture. All positive integers. And ABC co-prime. You know what I mean by co-prime, right? That means they don't have the common divisor for any two of them. Such that A plus B equals C, then C is actually expected less than or equal the C of epsilon multiply something called practical of ABC 1 plus epsilon. And I haven't defined radical yet, I aware. But here's the definition, very simple as well. So the radical is just the any n is a positive integers, right? So you only can write out n actually the product of p1 alpha 1 up to pm alpha m. This is a fundamental theorem of arithmetic where the pi here actually a prime and the alpha I it belongs to the positive integers, and I want to require here just the pi actually distinct prime here. Then the radical of n, I don't care about the power because that's not interesting enough. So the radical, that means I only look at the product of all distinct prime, which is the divisor of n. Here we have just b1, b2, up to the pm. Right. So that means, for example, if n is 100, that means it's going to become 2 square and 4, 25, so 5 square. Yeah. That means here you have 2 prime with 2 and 5, so the radical of n actually equals 2 times 5, it's a 10. So ABC, that means as long as you have the relationship between A plus B equals C, and I really want to assure you that in number theory, this equation is really, really difficult. It looks very simple, but it's highly difficult. Then you can tell the difference between C and the number of they never can pass by this constant here, where you write the power to the 1 plus epsilon. Epsilon is arbitrarily small. So, how many minutes I have? No?
Eight.
Four? Okay. Because I wanted to do that one for Fekma last year. And you see, actually, very easy. It's very elementary, actually. One you know, that conjecture. So this one is strong form. The reason why you call it strong form, because you need to satisfy every epsilon bigger than zero. But the form I like, just enough to deal with Fekma 1. And people actually checked that. In this case, the C of epsilon actually equal 1 as well. That means it's back. Then the C actually let them equal to ABC square. Because 1 plus epsilon. So that's enough for us. And this one we call very weak form. Only correspond one value of epsilon. So now we see is the now I assume is the x, y, and z are positive integers such that yn, xn equals zn. Of course, n only greater than 3 there. And it looks horrible here, but I can tell he become a, he become b, and he become c. That means I have a plus b equals c there, right? So then I calculate. And I can prove that actually, I'm only interested in the solution where A, B, C are co-prime. The other one easy to deal from those solutions. Then I have the first relation. So that means the only thing I need to calculate right now is just the, if I yield the A, B, C conjecture. So A, B, C conjecture tell me the weak form is, you see there, it should be the radical of A, B, C and square. Right. And now I come back to and here I'm plugging back the xn, yn, zn. That means I group together, I have x, y, z to the n squared. But now, like I said, when I have the form of n, it just equals to upon the power of a prime multiplied together. I don't care the power. It always come back become the product of distinct prime without a power. Right? So that means this one here actually equals to the radical of y squared. Because power doesn't matter. When you multiply with prime, you take away after anyway. And you can prove that and actually comes directly from definition, this one less than x squared, y squared, z squared. Right? Because this one indeed it is less than or equal x, y, and z. So when you square up outside, you're less than x squared, y squared, z squared. Now, you yield very simple from this equation. You yield the cosine one and cosine inequality. And you can prove it's easy yourself is the zn here equals to the product, the sum here. And this one always bigger than or equal 2 and x of n half. Y and half. And which is, because here 2 is positive, so it's bigger than x and half, y and half. So that means, in general, you can prove that the here equivalent to say z squared bigger than xy. Because you just take the n over 2 root both sides, you get back to this 4. And then, now, I yield this one. I know this one is less than xy less than z squared, that means x squared, y squared less than z to the 4. So this one less than z to the 4 multiplied z squared, which is z to the 6. So far what I prove is what? Zn less than equal one of them. And eventually, that means the n needs to be strictly less than 6. So from there, I have the Zn less than Z6. And because Z is positive integers, this is equivalent to say n less than 6. And because n less than 6 and positive integer, that means n become 3, 4, and 5. But those cases we know a long time ago. The first case is due to Euler. The second case due to Fermat himself. And the third case due to Dirichlet. And the other one through the same time is Legendre. So far, exactly, you see only a few right. I start from here at your ABC. I get back to the three known cases. And the fact my last thing follow. So that means ABC is super strong. Because if you look at another proof of Fermat's theorem using the elliptic curve by Andrew Y, it's like 100 something pages. Technically, actually. So, and they have another consequent value for as well. And it's similar proof, but I run out of time. And you can, you can look at the book by Bombieri and Gupla. Probably, I don't know if this name is right or not, it's called High in Diophantine Geometry. It's a beautiful book, and they contain several, consequences of ABC conjecture. And here, I took it from the paper by Granville. And I think Tucker. You can search online. I think it's probably online. It's very short proof. And ABC also implied the 14th theorem I just stated some times ago. So, and the proof of the implication between ABC to 14 is due to knowing Elke. You can take a look in his website as well. They're probably there. So, any question? Yeah? Which one? High in the Diophantine geometry.
Oh, okay.
The high, yeah. It's like, it's actually one episode of Diophantine geometry. They want to measure how high the point. Yeah, so. Question? Any question? So I expect you, to see several applications in Jacob's stick stuff. And one interesting thing is 2012, one Japanese mathematician name is Shinichi Mochiyuki. He claimed that he had a proof for the ABC conjecture. And the proof contained like several thousand pages. Yeah, but we haven't verified if the proof is correct or not up to now. Okay.
Yeah, let's thank the speaker. There's a lot of questions there. Everybody is welcome.